This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Happy to have you with us this evening. Appreciate you taking the time away from the AFC playoffs. NFC, looks like that's in the books. AFC, we got one more game. Nice to have you take a time to sit down with us. Thrilled to have you with us here at your liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Quick programming note, we will not be with you next Sunday, as KNSS will be bringing you live coverage of the AFC Championship game. So the Chiefs will be playing whomever wins tonight, and KNSS will be your home for your radio home for the Chiefs. So next Sunday, you can tune in here and listen to the Chiefs game. But in the meantime, we've got a great show planned for you tonight. Coming up here to kick off the 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk with legendary actor and producer Kevin Sorbo. You may recognize him, those of you who were fans of the hit TV series Hercules. That was the number one television drama for years. But he has since become an outspoken conservative. He is very public about his faith, his Christian beliefs, which, of course, means he's effectively banned. He's canceled in Hollywood. And we'll talk with him about what it's like to be a Christian, being a conservative in Hollywood. Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity will tell us about their new $20 million nationwide campaign supporting the Trump tax cuts. Author Leslie Corbley will try to explain why the crowd favorite Reagan movie was ruled ineligible for Best Picture at the Oscars due to the Academy's new DEI rules. It was a phenomenal movie. If you haven't seen it, rent it. Go. You know, DVR it, whatever you need to do. It's a great movie, but apparently it can't win the Oscars because it doesn't check enough boxes. And we will start our regular during the legislative session. We do our Under the Dome legislative update from Topeka, and Senator Renee Erickson will bring us that here coming up at the bottom of the hour. And of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. Well, first off, I know I've got friends who are braving the cold tomorrow for the inauguration, and much gratitude to God, Joe Biden's failed presidency has finally come to an end, and will tomorrow at 11:59 a.m. And as you know, America prepares for tomorrow's inauguration of Donald Trump, those of us who support him have to remember one very important thing. And it's this, if you haven't forgotten, if you're not aware, TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, is very real. And if you haven't seen it lately, you're going to get a very real dose of it very soon. Donald Trump, usually presidents get 30, 60, 90 day honeymoons, not this one. The honeymoon's already starting to wear off, depending on the media outlet that you watch. And trust me, the Trump derangement syndrome is real, and you all know someone afflicted by it. It's stage five. It wrecks the nervous system. It causes people to lose all sense of reason and common sense. It's all consuming, toxic, and frankly, infects the large part of the American media. And people who are usually rational and mild-mannered turn into raving lunatics whenever Donald Trump comes up. That's Trump derangement syndrome. Get ready for it, folks, because starting Tuesday, you're going to get it 24/7. And to anyone who's tuned into CNN, MSNB, LGBTV, or The View, the day after the election, they would have thought the world had ended. And we weathered 16 years of Clinton and Obama. We've just gone through 4 years of poopy drawers. And to the average Democrat, those were, you know, phenomenal performances. Trust me, they'll be able to handle 4 years of Donald Trump. The woke advocates on The View, maybe not. They, I don't know if they can handle 4 days of Donald Trump. It'll be fun to watch their heads explode. Those of you who may remember the late columnist Charles Krauthammer, who was a psychiatrist, he coined the Trump derangement syndrome, although at the time it was 2003, and it was about George W. Bush. Now, no fan of Trump, Krauthammer later defined it as Trump-induced general hysteria that produced an inability to distinguish between legitimate policy differences and signs of psychotic pathology in Trump's behavior. And that is really what it is. It's the inability to distinguish between legitimate policy differences. I disagree with Trump on X, and I just hate him because he is who he is. And therefore, by extension, I hate you because you agree with him. And contrast this with the following. In an issue of Psychology Today, Dr. Alex Patakos explained TDS as a derogatory term used to describe a form of toxic criticism and negative reaction to President Trump's statements. Journalist Fareed Zakaria defined TDS as hatred of President Trump so intense that it impairs people's judgment. I think the true definition is probably a combination of all the above. The left's obsession with Donald Trump seems to have reached epidemic status with no signs of receding. But as he proved this week in an interview in his bitter farewell speech, Joe Biden is clearly suffering through the final stages of Trump derangement syndrome. He clearly is obsessed with the former president, now president-elect, and as of, you know, Monday at 12:01, new president. And like those with Alzheimer's, TDS victims suffer confusion, incoherence, and bursts of anger. Well, I guess that's Joe Biden on a daily basis. But in Biden's case, it also causes delusions of grandeur and amnesia. Earlier this week, Joe Biden was still telling USA Today that the withdrawal from Afghanistan was an extraordinary success. Again, it's Joe Biden. What do you expect? Apparently, he forgot that the inflation rate since he took office has been 20%, because he also repeated the laughable claim that he could have beaten Trump, but instead he took a knee for the sake of his party, and that his was the greatest economy America had ever seen. So Biden, for his sake, is suffering from two kinds of syndromes. He's got Trump derangement syndrome and Alzheimer's, apparently. Before Biden delivered his hypocritical goodbye, his fellow Democrats in the Senate spent Tuesday and Wednesday making fools of themselves at the confirmation hearings. Future Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth and Attorney General Pam Bondi had to sit there and endure personal attacks as opposed to policy questions. On the other hand, Democrats like Elizabeth Warren, Tim Kaine, and the insufferable Mazie Hirono of Hawaii spent their time asking nasty, asinine, and unsuccessful gotcha questions. It was just creepy. Personal attacks no policy difference. Oh, wait, that is Trump derangement syndrome. And by extension, his appointees. You see, what's going on here, folks, is it's already happening. Folks on the left are obsessed with the former and now future president and are suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. For example, the governor of California, Governor Gavin Newsom, Mayor Bass of Los Angeles, and the heads of the fire departments have all been pointing fingers of blame, two of which blame Donald Trump for the fires, for the wildfires, if you can believe it. This week, the same politicians who've been giving the richest state in the union a $40 billion deficit passed a bill that devoted $50 million to Trump-proofing California. You can't make this stuff up. California, it seems, has a pandemic outbreak of Trump derangement syndrome. I, for one, don't know if there's any chance for a cure for America's left coast. And really, I don't know if we want there to be. We'll take a quick break, and then Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity will tell us about their new $20 million nationwide campaign supporting the Trump tax cuts. People who don't like tax cuts, Trump derangement syndrome. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. There are a community of millions of concerned citizens advocating for solutions based on proven principles to tackle the country's most critical challenges. If you're looking for a way to get involved in your community, make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Quick note, want to congratulate my buddy Leo Delperdang, Representative Leo Delperdang, from the Cars and Charity event at Century 2 this weekend. He took his 1970 convertible Hemi Challenger in, and lo and behold, it won the Sponsor's Choice Award. So I'm expecting, by the way, Leo, that car is used in every parade now for the Sedgwick. Now that I know, and I'm the chairman of the Sedgwick County Republican Party, I'm sending candidates your way, because my wife's Mustang gets way too much abuse. So now I know there's a beautiful little convertible that can now be used in parades. So earlier this week, speaking of Americans for Prosperity, they just launched a $20 million nationwide campaign calling on Congress to protect prosperity and renew President Trump's highly successful Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, a cornerstone of AFP and the Trump administration's shared economic agenda this year. The campaign, which is the largest effort by a conservative organization to support Trump's second term legislative agenda, launches this week with an ad blitz across all 50 states. With us now to tell us why it's so important for Congress to renew these tax cuts is Elizabeth Patton with AFP Kansas. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Oh, thank you for having me, and happy Sunday.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. If Congress, and I know you and I've talked about this before, but yeah, now it's rubber meets the road time, and there's right. No reason for them not to do it. But if Congress fails to renew the TCJA, Kansans will be paying $2,200 more in taxes. Just to make sure I understand that right, correct?
Yes. That is, the average Kansan bill would rise a little over $2,200 a month. Not a month, sorry. $2,200 of federal taxes if we don't renew Trump's tax cuts. And we also estimate it'll probably result in the loss of about 6,700 jobs. So that combined, like, this is not good if we don't get this done quickly. And it matters when we're on the tail end of the Biden administration and inflation is high. The very last thing we want to do is raise taxes right now. We want to make sure that we make these permanent.
we have to assume that but with the with Republicans in control of both chambers, that they can get this done. But that's not necessarily a safe assumption. I mean, we've got a couple of squishes in the Senate. Right. It's a very thin margin in Congress. And right. It only takes one or two votes. And, of course, even here in Kansas, you know, there's no guarantee that a Democrat like Sharice Davids would vote for this.
Right. Exactly. You know, and the rest of our delegation, you know, should be in great shape. And we're really grateful that Congressman Ron Estes from the 4th District right there, he's on Ways and Means. So he is right in the middle of this fight, leading on it. We were so excited to actually have him on a Teletown Hall this past week, and he did a great job with Akash from our team talking about why this matters and some of the inside baseball with it. But you're right. You know, when we have someone like Sharice or even in other states, the margin is incredibly thin, and this is not a foregone conclusion. And so it matters that all of our members of Congress take some leadership here to drive the narrative that the very last thing the country needs right now is a tax increase. And what we need to do is make this permanent. The TCJA fixed major flaws in the tax code. We know from story after story how much of an economic driver it's been. So on the tail end of the Biden administration, let's make these permanent instead of just, you know, more of the left's agenda of tax and spend. Let's pause that and instead get this done, make these permanent, help our economy for the long term. This is the way.
This is the way for our Mandalorian fans. The nice thing about this is the Protect Prosperity campaign is you're mobilizing in all 50 states, correct?
We are. Yes. If you go to protectprosperity.com, you can learn more about our Protect Prosperity campaign. And we're mobilized in all 50 states. We are working hard on all cylinders to make sure that this gets done. And so it looks like a lot of what we do normally, right? We're knocking doors. We're up on digital. We have some great videos out that are easy for people to share on social media to help make sure that they're getting the message out. And you think about even a state like ours, like on average, American families are, you know, their tax bill on average would go up $1,500. But if you extrapolate actually here in Kansas specifically, we're a lot higher than that. And we're at $2,200. So it matters, especially for our state and our delegation. So the more we can do to support the members of Congress we have here and tell them good job and continue the fight and let's get this done and let's get this done quickly. The faster we get this done, the more than we can focus on other important things that
right.
we have to do. And let's just finish the job and then keep working on the important tasks at hand.
We're talking with Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. The 2025 legislative session began last week. There's a number already. I mean, to their credit, they're not dilly-dallying. The Senate, for example, the Senate Tax Committee heard testimony just this week on Senate Concurrent Resolution 1603. We'll have Senator Renee Erickson on here at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to ask her about it as well. But this, and here's my little dark secret that some know, but I was born and raised in California, so I'm familiar with Proposition 13. But this basically would cap annual property tax increases in appraised value at 3%. I mean, if they can pull this off, I remember how successful it was initially in California. You know, the municipalities hate the idea. The left hates the idea. I think it's a fantastic idea. I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Kansas is the second most governed state per capita in the U.S. And basically what that means is we have a ton of government and a ton of local government. And so when you think about property taxes, I absolutely know the legislature is trying to look at that solution and a lot of others to fix that problem. And I think that's a good thing. I think ultimately as well, it's also got to be fought on the local level.
Right.
Things like what we're talking about with like USD 259, like stopping them from continuing to raise property taxes. And we have just under 4,000 taxing entities in Kansas who can levy property taxes. And when you look at that number, and you know, we're so grateful that the state is looking at all avenues of tax reform, because that does matter for long-term success. But we think we still want to marry that with something like buying down our income tax rate so that every Kansan gets a pay raise, and we have a really pro-growth tax policy with both angles, right? It's not mutually exclusive. It's get everything fixed. On top of what happened last year, there was also a property tax, you know, deduction right. exemption situation got us in a better spot. But the real fight on those property taxes, you know, we've got to take it to the local government, to be honest. And we've got to hold them accountable for their spending habits and their growth just as much as what we've done on the state level. And so it's encouraging and exciting how much leadership our state House members are taking. And I want to see that continued in the municipalities and the counties as well.
Well, you know, I love the phrase starve the beast. And that I think that's one thing we have to start doing at these local and county levels, because spending is really the issue here. It's we don't have a right. revenue problem. We have a spending problem.
We have a spending problem, right?
You exactly. mentioned the Wichita school bond vote. And we've had, and I will go ahead and let folks know that not next Sunday. We were planning on doing it next Sunday, but the following Sunday we'll have the superintendent of US-2259 on the show. We've already had the folks from a Vote No Bond on the show as well. But, you know, this school bond vote, the biggest claim that they're making is it's not a tax increase, but you and I both know your property taxes are scheduled to go down if you vote no. Correct. So by virtue Correct. Of what it is, it's a tax increase.
Right. Right. Well, and it's like, if you want your property taxes lower, like, and how many people we know have said that, you know, you were on the doors with us.
Everyone.
A lot of people talk about that.
Yes.
And it's like, if you want your property taxes lower, then you want to vote no, because if you want lower property taxes, the no vote will get you lower property taxes. And a yes vote, sure, it might technically maintain the status quo, but what it puts you on is an onward trajectory for ever increasing property taxes.
Right.
And basically carte blanche to say, I'm fine with this, let's go bigger. And that's ultimately not what I think Kansans said repeatedly during the election cycle. They said, no, thank you. All of our tax burden is too high. Cumulatively, Kansas is in the top 15 or 14 for the whole country. And that is silly for us to be so high. And people feel it. And it's time to really take that leadership to, you know, lessen spending on all levels of government, get taxes under control, and do a little bit of a reset for fiscal responsibility. And people want to see that efficiency and that smart governing. We can get it done. But they need to tell the school district, like, no, with what you've had so far, this bond has been in place for 20 years. We haven't really seen the fruits of its labor. What promises are they going to give you to say that it's going to be any better next time?
Right.
I would so much rather see funding like that go towards, you know, something like directly to the classroom or to teachers. But we all know, you know, pretty buildings do not improve student outcomes, and everyone wants lower property taxes. So this does not equal success for the Wichita area at all.
No, you're absolutely right. Let's the money into the classroom. Let's get it into teacher pay. If we're going to do it, let's do it in that regard, not on buildings, because buildings aren't the problem. Elizabeth, right. If folks are interested, obviously they can, if they want to volunteer, I know you guys are going to be working, like you said, on the bond issue, on other things. If I'm sure once we're not in a deep freeze, folks will be door knocking again. If they want to volunteer, right. If they want to get engaged, obviously it's AmericansForProsperity.org. And what's that? What's the Project Prosperity website again?
Yeah. So ProtectProsperity.com. Go to ProtectProsperity.com and see what we've got going on there. You can also go and check out our state chapter specifically on social media. You can reach out on Instagram, X, or Facebook. And you can also see our website and sign up to volunteer on just AmericansForProsperity.org on the Kansas site. But if you want to know more about what we're doing to help Trump's tax cuts become permanent, go to ProtectProsperity.com and make your voice heard. And let's support folks like Ron Estes and the others who are trying so hard to make this a done deal, so then we can move on to even better policy items in the future. So.
Elizabeth, thank you again for joining us, and thank you for what you're doing. You guys, I mean, you do yeoman's work, and it's because of people like you door knocking that We have our new improved super majorities. Now the key is to see what we do with it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and thanks for all you do to get this message out. It matters deeply for the future
of
our state and our country.
Thanks, Elizabeth. We appreciate you. We'll take a quick break, and then State Senator Renee Erickson will bring us our weekly Under the Dome legislative update from Topeka. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Did you miss part of last week's John Whitmer Show? Don't worry about it. We got you covered. We post clips from all our shows, single hours, single segments, and the entire show as one audio file. There's lots to choose from. Just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, it's that time of year. Sponsorships are now available for the John Whitmer Show. If you're interested, we've just added the new sponsor at Eck Insurance, who's sending me to Topeka once or twice a month. For more information, if you'd like to sponsor, you can email Tony at KNSSradio.com. And of course, this time of the show, while the legislature's in session, we do our Under the Dome legislative update, where we bring you a live update from one of our state senators or state representatives. We're fortunate tonight to have our own legislator, our state senator from here in Wichita, Senator Renee Erickson, with us. Renee, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. It's always a pleasure having you on the show, my friend.
Oh, John, it's always a pleasure to be with you. Happy New Year, and I can't wait for tomorrow. Happy Hokey Pokey Day, where we put the right people in, take the left people out, and shake the swamp all about. Can't wait.
I love that. That's great. Okay. All right. You know what music we're going to have to play on the way out of this segment, right?
I do. Yes, and, yes. And Renee, I just want to say that's probably going to be a soundbite on this show from now on.
Yep,
that's fantastic.
Take the right. Yes. I love that. That should be a new soundbite. I want to take the right people in and the wrong people out. I love that.
Well, John, I'll tell you, you have the best lead-in music of any show bar none. So I take that as a great compliment.
I will put the check in the mail, my friend. So let me ask you, we just had Elizabeth Patton from AFP on a little while ago. We talked about this, but let me ask you, since this is a Senate bill or concurrent resolution, but it's the same thing. Tax committee heard testimony this week on 1603. It's nice to hear you guys actually doing something in the first week. I remember when I was in the legislature and all we basically did was piddle potter around and, you know, introduce ourselves for the first 2 weeks. So I'm thrilled to see the way Dan and Ty are driving the ship and getting right to work right away. But 1603, as I understand it, would cap annual property tax increases in appraised value at 3%. Is that right?
That is correct. And, John, yes, we have hit the ground running. It's been that way ever since COVID, when we weren't sure if we were going to get sent home or not. We decided, and everyone said, hey, we love this pace. We don't want to sit around. And, yes, so hearings on SCR 1603, it will cap assessed valuations at no more than 3% a year unless it's new construction or you make improvements to your home. And the Senate passed this last year late and didn't quite get taken up. So we're excited about getting it done because, as you said earlier with Elizabeth, property tax is the number one issue people want action on. The Republicans are going to deliver it. Speaker Hawkins emphatically said, we will get property tax done this year, and the Senate is full on board with that.
So, and this, fortunately, because she's expressed that she doesn't like this idea, Governor Kelly has nothing to do with this. This is a constitutional amendment. So if the Senate passes it and the House passes it, then it goes to the ballot, correct?
Correct. It takes two-thirds of both chambers, but then it does not go to the governor. It goes straight to the people. And I'm excited about that because people are clamoring for property tax relief. And so I think it's a great opportunity to do something on that front. But I don't think that's the only thing we're going to be looking at in order to provide relief to folks.
I know this week I didn't make it. I had root canal, oral exams, and had to watch paint dry. So I didn't attend the State of the State because I had, you know, so many other things I'd rather do. But she had her State of the State. You know, I'm so sorry I missed it. But I did watch the highlights, and you know, once again, it just seemed like it was the same old, same old. Medicaid expansion, not allowing you guys to do any tax increases. Her budget, which is, what was it, 16% increase in spending. Just lots of spending, Medicaid expansion, and don't do any tax cuts. I'm assuming that fell on fairly deaf ears.
Well, John, I would rather have a root canal by a monkey than listen to another one of her State of the State addresses. I'm just telling you, you know, what she proposed, she says I will tell you, she said, quote, "I am a fiscal conservative."
Oh, whatever.
And then she presents a budget like this and talks, quote, that she thinks she's a fiscal conservative. But, yeah, increased spending, as you said earlier, we have a spending problem. The governor, her answer is to increase government bureaucracy. She wants to add two new, you know, cabinet level offices to deal with early childhood and water, and spend more money, because that's the answer that she has. We need to address those problems, there's no question, but adding bureaucracy and just throwing money at it isn't the answer. So we'll come with real practical solutions for the issues that Kansans are facing and to lay the groundwork for the next, as she said, 25 to 75 years.
Well, and it's interesting that she wants to increase spending when you and I both know that the surplus that you're sitting on is dwindling. You know, I thought it was interesting. I saw the Senate President Ty Masterson's response. And, you know, that's where I think most Kansans are. It shows how out of touch Laura Kelly is, because he talked about simplifying the tax code and reducing taxes for families. She didn't talk about that. She specifically had told the press that, you know, where she instructed you not to cut taxes. He also talked about, you know, the extreme trans agenda, and I think that's important. She's vetoed that bill. You couldn't get it through the House last time because there were a few holdouts, but Dan seems pretty confident that this time around we can get that passed.
I'm confident we'll get the gender mutilation bill passed this time. A couple of the people who were obstacles in the House are no longer there.
Right.
So I'm confident we'll get that. It's the right thing to do, John. This is a winning issue. And not only that, it's the right thing to do for kids. So I'm happy to see that will be coming. I'm on Public Health and Welfare in the Senate. That's queued up, ready to go. We hope to get that out soon in the session.
Speaking of you, I know you chair the new, basically, it's like a DOGE committee for the Senate, which is good. I mean, Kansas's budget has ballooned 60% over the last 12 years. This is something new. It's a new committee that the Senate has set up. Am I characterizing it correctly? It's like a government efficiency kind of a committee?
Absolutely. We're seeing it at the federal level. This is a push in other states, too. Do not call me, you know, Elon Ramaswamy or anything, but it's very much modeled after looking for government efficiencies. And we obviously need to cut spending. One of the ways we do that is through efficiency. And we are looking at everything in that committee, from reducing the burdensome rules and regulations to our fiscal areas that we know we can cut, to how we do things in our government agencies, redundancies. John, people came out of the woodwork. in order to, they've been contacting me saying, hey, look at this. We are setting up a portal page on the legislative website where people can report government inefficiencies, and we will take a look at those because we are going to not just take away some of the burdensome regulations and look at the low-hanging fruit. We're going to systemically change how we do business here in Kansas to be more efficient, not just now, but going forward.
Well, I've got a couple from you. Next time we're together, I'll let you know because I encountered a few just in my time in the legislature on some of the interim committees. So next time we're together, I'll give you a couple of tips. Senator Ramaswamy, if folks want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to connect?
Through my website or Facebook or X, however they want to do it. Just not TikTok, apparently.
Nope.
Not that I was ever on that.
Me neither.
Yeah, reach out. Would love to hear from folks. And whatever I can do to help, be glad to do it.
Renee, I appreciate you. Keep up the good work. Try and stay warm. I know it's going to get awful cold up there this week.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, John.
Thank you, my friend. Oh, I knew he was going to do it. Yeah, this is from now on, I think this needs to be her theme song. We'll take a quick break. Then I want to hear from you. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you, check out Americans for Prosperity, AFP. They're the folks who, I'm sure you've received a palm card on your door during the election season. They're the ones who knock on doors, millions of concerned citizens all across the country, door knocking. Guarantee you they're going to be back at it here as soon as the weather turns, probably on behalf of the Vote No Bond folks. But if you're interested, if you want to get involved, if you're looking for a way to get involved, obviously you can reach out to the Sedgwick County Republican Party. But another way to get involved is AmericansForProsperity.org. You can make your voice heard today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and like and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Also, remember, this is the time of year for sponsorships for the John Whitmer Show. They're now available. For more information, you can email Tony at knssradio.com. We've already been for one trip up to Topeka, thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. We'll be back again probably twice next month. We'll be back up in Topeka to bring you live episodes of the John Whitmer Show. Couple events coming up this week. Elizabeth Patton, you heard her earlier in the show. She'll be at the Pachyderm Club this Friday. And, of course, don't forget, coming up on Wednesday, January 29th is the March and Rally for Life in Topeka. Don't, if you want information on either of these events, you can visit the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So all kinds of stuff coming up.
All kinds of stuff. Really enjoyed the program that we had from Topeka.
Yeah. Thanks to you, by the way. You really pulled that off since we were having lots of Wi-Fi issues.
It was interesting, but
you were able to pull it off.
I think we pulled it off, but it sounded really good and it was fun. It was fun getting to listen to, when we had the telephone issue, you pulled Leo Dumperding.
Yep.
Yep. And several others that came by. It was great getting to hear from some of these people up in Topeka and getting their comments, their what they're focusing on as the term
on ends. The spot comment. Yeah. And I think we're going to have that more now that they, once they get a feel for the fact that we're there and they'll know that, oh, he's coming back. I think, cause we already started the word of mouth. They're now starting to figure out, oh, he's going to be broadcasting. I've already had people read, hey, when are you coming again? I'm sorry. I missed you. I wanted to come. I didn't realize you were doing it that early. Now I think they'll start to really start coming on a regular basis when they know we're going to, and they'll swing by and we're going to try. I will also try and build in more open segments just for conversation right. yeah. with folks.
I think I'm interested not only in the folks that have been up in Topeka for several terms, but also the freshmen this year.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear from them as well.
Freshmen are fun because, you know, it's like drinking from a fire hose. A lot of them, I mean, you're just, they're trying to figure out where the bathrooms are and where the committees are. And it is an interesting experience. Being in Topeka, I'm sure it's similar with DC, just at a much more intense rate, but it's very interesting. It's not a usual, it's like being in a fishbowl. It's very unique environment. Everybody, you know, oh, honorable this and representative that. And there's much, puckering of posteriors. If you get the drift, my drift here. It's a very interesting atmosphere for sure.
Well, you get folks that come in that, you interview here in studio,
yeah.
which is great. I'd love to see them during the off session times. But it's a little different, and I think you get a little different perspective when you've got them on their home turf.
Yeah.
And they're getting ready to, like, they were getting ready the next day to get started. That was
oh,
the first
yeah.
day.
Well.
So you get a lot of that, and that's really
And yet you get them relaxed because that Sunday night, especially where we broadcast from up there, is a, I'm not going to go into any details, but it's a, shall we say, a lounge. It's a room that's made available by one of the, entities up in Topeka, nonpartisan. It's a nonpartisan organization that has a facility that they make available to legislators to relax and socialize. And they've invited us to broadcast from there but they're in a very casual, relaxed environment, and it's a very nice place for us
Works
to broadcast
well.
From. Yeah. Yeah, it does. We'll take a quick break, and then after the top of the hour break, we're going to talk to Kevin Sorbo. I'm really looking forward to talking to him about how Hollywood has turned its back on him due to his conservative and Christian views. This is a John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. You can always listen to us by downloading your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and through social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open. 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. And as an outspoken conservative in liberal Hollywood, he's an actor, director, producer. He's launched Sorbo Cellars, offering fine wine and spirits. He's established Patriot Mobile. We advertise that on this station, America's only Christian conservative phone provider. And later this year, he'll play tour guide with his lovely wife, Sam, in the oldest holy cities on earth. Kevin, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
My pleasure. I don't feel like I'm outspoken. I just speak the truth. But apparently in Hollywood, that's like making me a leper.
Yeah, I was going to say, in Hollywood, that could be dangerous.
It is dangerous. They blacklisted me about 12 years ago. That's why my wife and I formed Sorbo Studios to do our own movies. And actually, I say movies that Hollywood used to do, movies that had hope and love and laughter, redemption, things that, you know, people want to go to. But we see what Hollywood's putting out there. So we're just kind of fighting against the tide of the secular crap they're throwing at people.
Well, and that is actually the first thing I was going to ask you about, because you are a vocal American conservative and an outspoken supporter of President Trump. That can't make you particularly popular in Hollywood.
No, not at all. I mean, really, it was my manager lives in and is at her office in Studio City. My agent's over in Beverly Hills. So they never get together. They don't want to go over that mountain over there because it takes, you know, about an hour and a half to go 10 miles in L.A. And they called me in one day, and they're both in the same office. And I said, what is this, an intervention? And they said, well, just letting you know that we can't work with you anymore because the studios don't want to work with you. I'm going, really? You know, Universal, after 12 years of doing Hercules and Andromeda and the millions of dollars they made of shows that were over 170 countries around the world and still airing around the world, they don't want to work with me anymore. And they said, yeah, but they don't like what you're saying. I go, but I don't post any anger. I don't post hate. I just post common sense truth. But that apparently is a really horrible kryptonite to Hollywood folks. So what are you going to do?
You know, it's ironic that you say that because you're not the only one. A few years ago, your colleague Jim Caviezel came here to Wichita to speak to the Kansans for Life banquet, and he said essentially the same thing. You know, he's fundamentally very Christian, and yet it's not like he's going around proselytizing, but he just has his fundamental beliefs. He's very pro-life, and he too has felt that sting of essentially being blacklisted in Hollywood.
Well, ironically, Jim and I had the same manager for many years, not the manager that told me they wouldn't work with me anymore, but this is when our careers were first starting out in 1990, 91. And there's a basketball league we played in, and then we were neighbors in California for many years. My wife and I escaped California 6 years ago, thank God. We live in the free state of Florida, and we absolutely love it here. And it was, you know, it's interesting that Hollywood has this thing, because I don't harbor that kind of anger and hate that the people at a different point of view. I've got atheist friends still. I have agnostic friends. I have liberal friends. But I've lost a lot of those people in those categories as well just because of where I stand and where I believe. And they're like little seventh grade junior high girls is what they are. They're just like little catty, little, you know, talking behind your back. They never come up to me in person. It's going to be interesting because I do some events still, some autograph shows, and they're all there. And I've seen the stuff they post about me, and I walk by and smile and wish they have a good day. You know? So I think I'm just going to kill them with kindness and just see what happens after that.
I follow you on X. I recommend folks do. You're at KSORBS, at KSORBS. And I've seen some of your feed. By the way, I love your feed on X. And you've said that Hollywood has essentially, you haven't turned your back on Hollywood, that they've turned your back on you. Do you think that is due in part to your conservative and your Christian views?
Oh, completely, 100%. There's no question. And I think there's a lot of actors out there that believe the same way I do. A lot of people on the other side of the camera because, you know, every movie I've been doing the last 6-7 years, I'm very fortunate through Sorbo Studios and other independent producers to shoot 3-4 movies every single year. In fact, I got 4 movies in post-production right now, 3 documentaries, all coming out later this year. So please follow me at sorbostudios.com. More information there. But it's interesting to see the feedback I get from people. But when I'm on these movie sets, people come up to me independently, very quietly, like we're doing a drug deal, and say, hey, man, thanks for being a voice for us. But, dude, be a voice for yourself. And more of these people now are coming out. I think we've reached a really good tipping point, especially with Trump now getting back in office, which is an amazing thing, because even my liberal friends who were mad back in 2016, this time around they kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, yeah, we kind of knew all along that it was a better choice than the two people they had out there. So,
how sad is it, though? How sad is it, though, that you have to have a secret handshake to express that you're a Christian or a conservative?
I know. And you just said the title of a movie I did years ago with Amy Grant called The Secret Handshake. So people check that movie out, too.
We're talking with actor and director Kevin Sorbo. I want to talk to you about some of the work that you've done, in particular in God's Not Dead. Ironically, you played a God-hating philosophy professor. You know, that film was a huge success. And for many, I think it changed the public perception of Christian films. Did you have any inkling that it was going to get as much attention as it did?
Well, we knew we had a good movie, but you know, I sat with those same guys with PureFlix before. A couple years earlier, I did a movie called What If, and in my book, same writers that did God's Not Dead. In my book, What If is a superior movie, but here's the trouble with independent movies: how do you get them out there? When you shoot movies for $2 or $3 million, we don't have $100 million advertising budget like Hollywood does for these $300 million, you know, avatars that they throw at us. So we need word of mouth. God's Not Dead was fortunate to come out the right time, right place, got tons of word of mouth. But I've done many movies I think are better than God's Not Dead. But we knew we had something good. I'm going to go back and correct you. You said I played an atheist college professor. That's redundant. Just say college professor. You got it covered.
That's true. That's true. How sad is that? But you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I know. It's true. Yeah.
Do you think now, maybe with as a result of the election or just sort of the changing climate that we're in, do you think Christian movies are more accepted now? Do you think that might be the trend?
You know, no question. You know, the Irwin brothers' father came up to me and said, you know, when God's Not Dead came out, actually, the Irwin brothers said this to me. They said, when God's Not Dead came out, their father said to them, he said, sons, why can't you make a movie like that? Well, they've had huge success, the Irwin brothers, since then. And I think you look at what the kind of work they're doing in other independent production houses, more and more people are turning towards this because more and more people are looking for hope.
Right,
they're looking for something out there because this crazy world we live in, with the you know the birth of the woke world back in 2016, people are just saying, you know, enough of this stuff. We're looking for some place that gives us something that the world's not going to be as horrible as it looks like it is every day on the news. So they are picking up. There's no question about that.
And yet, it's not the only work that you've done. I mean, I know I've read some of the work that you've done lately. You've done a lot of secular movies, including a recent zombie movie. And yet, people might be surprised to hear the conservative evangelical Christian doing zombie films.
Well, you know, it was a comedy. A buddy of mine in Montana wrote it and directed it, and he called me up, and I read it, and he wanted my son in the lead. And I had sort of a supporting role in it. It was just a blast. It's not the bloody. It's not evil. There's no wokeness in it. There's no, you know, agenda that Hollywood likes to shove down our throats. It's just a fun movie called It's Aliens versus Zombies. And it was just stupid fun. And we had a great time doing that. But, I did a vampire movie. I played a 700-year-old vampire, and that was a comedy as well. It was just fun, you know, and I like to mix it up as an actor, but there's certainly a lot of roles I wouldn't do and don't want to do because of some of the message that's coming out of it. But I've got two other movies I'm directing this year as well that are wonderful family faith-based movies. Not necessarily like in your face with faith, but the message is going to be there. I like to try to do movies sort of in the vein of Blindside.
Right.
That has the message there, but people that non-faith said, oh, it's a great sports movie, but the message was still in there, though, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. You could enjoy it if you weren't faith-based, but if you absolutely wanted to see it, you could see it if you read between the lines.
Yeah.
And then you and your wife are also doing a tour, right, coming up?
Well, yeah, we usually go to Israel every year. Last year, of course, we take 80 people every year to Israel, and that last year, people, we were completely filled again, but the war broke out, so, you know, understandably so, people backed out and didn't want to join us. And then, so this year, we're actually going to go through Greece. So we're going to, instead of walking in the footsteps of Jesus, we're going to walk in the footsteps of Paul. And I hope people will check it out. It's going to be a much more smaller group of people. We're only taking 30 on this one. It's going to be very intense. We got some wonderful, wonderful scholars going to be joining us. And we're going to travel through Greece and just have a great time. So I think we only have 10 spots still open, so I hope people join us, and they go to sorbostudios.com and check that out if they're interested.
Well, again, Kevin, I appreciate you taking the time to join us, and hopefully we'll find an opportunity. I know there are some groups here in town that are looking for an opportunity to bring you to Wichita. If folks are interested, if they want to connect with you again on X, it's at KSorbs, and online it's sorbostudios.com, correct?
That's correct. It's K Sorbs because all my buddies call me Sorbs, so you guys can all be my buddies. But check it out. I do post fun stuff. During COVID, I said, you want to get rid of COVID? Tell the Clintons COVID's got something on them.
That's true. Actually, that's very accurate. Kevin, thank you again for joining us, and carry on a fight, my friend.
My pleasure. I hope I get there. I know they're talking to me about possibly doing a pro-life event, so I hope that happens.
We'll take a quick break, and then author Leslie Corbley will try and explain, speaking of Hollywood, why the crowd favorite Reagan movie was ruled ineligible for the Best Picture Oscar nomination due to the Academy's new DEI rules. You know, I should have asked Sorbo about that. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Americans for Prosperity believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. They're a community of millions of concerned citizens advocating for solutions based on proven principles to tackle a country's most critical challenges. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow The John Whitmer Show, Facebook and True Social pages, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the movie Reagan earned withering reviews from the critics. There's a shock. Critics don't like it. Of course, you know, yeah, again, not surprising. Some film critics included the film on their worst of 2024 lists. Again, not surprising, despite earning an impressive 98% fresh rating from audiences. However, what slim hopes the film had for earning a Best Picture nomination vanished due to DEI. The film was ruled ineligible for the top prize because it didn't meet Oscar's new diversity requirements. With us now to try and explain why Hollywood was so opposed to the Reagan movie is author Leslie Corbley. Leslie, thank you for joining us this evening. Nice to have you on the show, my friend.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, I tried to figure out what these rules were, and apparently the rules rose up from the 2020 BLM protests, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. And keep in mind, this is the same group that thinks there's, you know, 92 genders. So I don't know why science is included, but they proposed a bunch of diversity mandates, correct?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, fairly typical, I suppose, of Hollywood, but
yeah.
Probably not necessarily the best as far as capturing, you know, the most talent, I suppose, you know. And it doesn't seem like the way to go. Well, there's all kinds of movies, for example, that could be superb that may or may not meet diversity requirements.
Right. And if you think about some of the movies that have, you know, garnered Best Picture based on, say, historical accuracy, I mean, like Chariots of Fire, it comes mm-hmm. to mind. That was a phenomenal movie. Out of Africa. I mean, some of these movies, Chariots of Fire was a team of white Englishmen who ran along the ocean and competed for Olympics. Well, that movie now would never even be eligible for consideration because it was a bunch of white Englishmen. I mean, is that how ludicrous this has become?
It is. But what's fascinating is what I think is fascinating about some of the diversity debates we're having right now is how the left actually has quite a narrow-minded view of diversity. So when I think of diversity of, like, I think of the human experience, right? Not necessarily ethnicity, race, or gender. Now, those things come into play for sure, right? Like, that's a type of diversity. But it's almost like they've, for some reason, frozen the word diversity into only meaning this very specific type, right?
Where we have
a multi-ethnic looking group of people engaging in life together. And that's a type of diversity, but it is not necessarily the only kind, nor is it necessarily always the best kind for any given, way to portray human life, right? And so I think that that's actually, in my opinion, very interesting. When you read classical literature and look at, like, classical films, in a way you see a very different type of diversity that's not often talked about anymore, which is, again, connected to how people experience life. And sometimes that means honing in on a group of people that may or may not look multi-ethnic.
But, you know, I do find it interesting when you think of the movies that have won Best Picture historically, you know, The Godfather, Patton,
mm-hmm.
some of these films, it's shocking to think that they wouldn't even be considered now. They wouldn't be eligible because, well, you know, the Patton, for example, well, General Patton was white, so he's not eligible. The Godfather, you know, well, it's a bunch of Italian mafia guys. So, I mean, it just goes to show, since it didn't check multiple progressive boxes, they can't be considered.
Well, it's so again, it's, in my view, so narrow-minded, which is
right.
Funny because the left views themselves as so open-minded. But it's
right.
Such a narrow way to view, you know, human life across history, because that's just not... You know, again, there is value in portraying multi-ethnic
accurately.
Communities, absolutely.
Yes.
But there's also, you know, historically accurate films that matter, and you know, all kinds of things that occur in human life that may or may not involve, you know, every color of the rainbow
exactly.
being in community simultaneously.
Do you think, Leslie? Do you think that the fact that the main star of Reagan, Dennis Quaid, is conservative and a Trump supporter, do you think that mm-hmm. could have been a factor in this as well?
I mean, I'm sure it doesn't help, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't think there's very many people in America anymore who believe that Hollywood is unbiased politically. So I imagine it was another ding to that movie. It's funny, you know, what's funny is that I haven't even seen the movie Reagan, but now I kind of want to. You know, I think that's it's almost like a barometer of what movies I want to watch. I'm like, they hate it. All right, I'll try that one. Maybe it'll be worth watching. Because I don't know if you've had this experience, but I certainly have, where I'll go try these different movies or whatnot, and they're just terrible.
Oh, trust me.
I don't even enjoy them.
I am absolutely in that boat. I have not seen, everybody, the left seems to love Wicked, and I have not seen it, nor do I really have any desire to, because it just seems so woke to me that, you know, my wife loves The Wizard of Oz, and I'm afraid that they'll just ruin it, so I'm afraid to go see it.
Just for the cultural aspect, but I mean, I have to go into it with that mindset often, because I've just noticed over the past, I want to say 5, maybe 6 years, the movies have just become so propagandized that
right.
It's difficult to, you know, feel like you're being entertained.
Yes, yeah, you're waiting for the political commentary, the message of the climate change or LGBT or whatever to be inserted into whatever, the Titanic or whatever it is. We're talking to author Leslie Corbly. Let me ask you this. The film star, Dennis Quaid, and others have claimed that Hollywood has blackballed the film. I know Facebook mm. temporarily restricted the film's advertising on its platform. Mm. I mean, does this happen a lot? Have you seen this in other cases with conservative or right-leaning films?
I mean, I'm sure it happens. You know, I think we're still in a very interesting media landscape where it's kind of difficult to know what is and isn't being blackballed. People talk about,
right.
you know, blacklisting, being canceled, so on and so forth. And what I think is fascinating is like that trend, in my opinion, seems to be going from multiple directions, right? So because it's so easy, algorithms change, for example, there's always plausible, who knows, there could be plausible deniability as to why it, for example, it might not be showing up in a search or something of that nature. But yeah, I think that there's a lot of that going on from multiple different standpoints of bias right now. And it's just difficult to pin down. So people have to, you know, try to find information channels that align with their tastes, which in some ways I think is kind of damaging, right?
Right.
I really wish we were in a timeline where we could still have a lot of cross-pollination of ideas and cultural values and beliefs, but right now it's pretty siloed because it can be difficult to, you know, cross-pollinate, and to be honest, right?
Right,
it's just difficult for people to access broad philosophical and political viewpoints from just one platform.
It would be nice to be able to search without having a bias on your search engine. And it is interesting, I did find one thing, like for example Deadpool and Wolverine most recently was playing in 3,600 theaters. At its height, it played at 4,300 theaters.
Wow.
Alien Romulus played in 3,100 theaters. The Reagan movie was released in only 2,700 theaters. So
really?
There may have been some, you know, some blacklisting, when you compare. Now, you know, was that intentional, or was that they just wanted to do a limited release because they didn't, you know, they didn't trust it? You just never mm-hmm. know. But it's hard to know. If Leslie, if folks want to connect with you, I know you're a poet. You've got a new book out. Mm-hmm. If folks want to connect with you, if they want more information on your work, what's the best way for them to find you?
Sure. So my website's the easiest way. It's just really simple. My first name, last name, LeslieCorbly.com. And that has links to my social media as well. On X, I'm at Corbly Leslie. Sorry.
And that's Corbly. I know I follow you on X, and you've got some fun things. I was checking out your Twitter feed the other day, X feed. I still call it Twitter, so what can I say?
It's hard.
It is hard. Leslie, I appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time to join us on a Sunday evening. Well, I guess we lost her. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills. I want to hear from you. Did you see the film? Did you see the Reagan movie? If so, what did you think? 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Well, for those of you who aren't watching, 1 minute, 18 seconds left, a Buffalo-Baltimore game. Buffalo 27, Baltimore 25. So it looks like the Bills are heading to Kansas City next Sunday. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show. Oh, and if I just ruined it, somebody been DVRing it, I'm in trouble. On 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And as of always, our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. Don't forget to catch my carry-on commentaries. It's a 60-second segment that is available every day, three times a day, 5 days a week, right here on KNSS. You can catch those daily right here on KNSS. Rod, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
Hi, John. Hey, I got a suggestion for a good bumper.
Okay. We're always good for a good bumper music.
A Mighty Good Leader is on the way by Audio Adrenaline. It's a Christian rock group, probably from the 90s.
I know Trump's been playing Hold On. I'm on, Phil? It's I'm on the way, or I'm a coming. Yeah, Hold On, I'm Coming. That's another one he's been playing.
Sam and Dave. Hey, John, I was thinking about the inauguration and President Trump, and how fitting is it that his inauguration will be on MLK Day, for he is one who will bring Dr. King's dream come true, will grow up in a country where his five grown children will be judged not by the color of their skin, nor, I might add, the size of their bank accounts, but by the content of their character.
Hey, you know, it is a good point, Rod, and it's always something that I've often said. You know, people right now, well, look at that last segment we're talking about, movies that were not qualifying for the Oscars because they didn't check certain progressive diversity requirements. And I've often said that hiring decisions like the DEI stuff, it should be based on merit. It should be based on whether or not you're qualified. It shouldn't be based on some arbitrary genetic code or whether or not you hit the right gender or your identity or your sexual orientation. If you're qualified, if you've got the skill set, it should be merit based, qualification based, and no other criteria.
Amen.
Yep. No, I agree with you, Rod. Are you going to be watching tomorrow? I know myself and about 200 other patriots are going to be down at Boulevard Theaters. Ron Estes and the folks of the Sedgwick County Republican Party and KNSS are sponsoring a watch party. Are you going to join us?
Well, you know, I hate to get out. It's supposed to be a record-setting cold. I'll listen in on the radio, though.
Yeah, well, we'll be down, Rod. I appreciate the call. Thank you, my friend. We'll be down at Boulevard Theaters tomorrow for the watch party. I think it's sold out. I think they actually had to add a second theater. I was the folks from the Estes campaign were kind of keeping me up to date on how they were progressing on the ticket sales, and literally halfway through the week they had updated me that they were going to add a second theater, and then that one reached capacity. So it should be fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a bunch of patriots getting together to watch the inauguration. Starts at 10. I think the vice president is sworn in at 10:30.
That's
and
right.
Trump should be sworn in right around 11. At 11, actually.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah.
And you know what? This is so typical of the left, because they're already saying that Trump is afraid of the cold, which is why he moved it inside. That he's afraid, that he doesn't want to get. I'm serious. You know, people, if he said the sky was blue, they would hate him. They would say he's lying. You know what I mean? It's just some haters gotta hate. It's just that some people, again, it comes back to Trump derangement syndrome, the point of my monologue.
Well, you know, I know, and most everybody in this country knows, whether they like him or hate him, knows that he's not afraid of anything.
No.
So he's definitely not afraid of that. Now, of course, he's going to he'd be responsible about this, but, barring the cold, you know, he wanted to be outside.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing you also know is he doesn't give a damn what they think about it.
No, that's
he could care less. And I'm sure that he did not want to move it indoors. I guarantee you he would have preferred to have had it out there on the steps of the Capitol with the massive crowd and the photo op that comes with it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is apparently the forecast is record dangerous, nasty cold. I mean, the kind of stuff that, you know, people die. And the Potomac is particularly bad. And from what I understand, it's the forecasts were really nasty. And yeah. So they made the decision to move it indoors. And, you know, I would almost say, you know, if this was a Democrat, they'd be praising him for being conscientious and mm-hmm. caring about them.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's Trump, so they have to find something to criticize.
TDS.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, that's precisely. It's Trump derangement syndrome. It's, and you know, it's the same thing on a smaller scale. It's the same thing that we had here in Kansas when Sam Brownback was governor. No matter what Sam did, they hated him. I mean, Sam could pass or write it. You know, I mean, no matter what he did, it was, they hated Brownback. And even to this day, I mean, I had a conversation the other day with Dr. Jeff Collier, and it's the same thing. I mean, anytime a Republican runs for governor, they bring up Brownback. Oh, the terrible Brownback experiment. I saw it. In fact, there was an Eagle article this week, an op-ed, and someone was talking about the Brownback experiment and how he cut education. And I really wanted to write back to the Wichita Eagle. They wouldn't print it, I'm sure. And remind them that Sam Brownback did not cut education. I don't know if you knew that. Have you heard the claim that Sam Brownback cut funding?
Yes. Yes, I have.
It's not true. It's false. The only governor in Kansas, in modern Kansas history, to cut funding to education was Parkinson, the Democrat.
Uh-huh.
He's the only one who actually cut funding to education. What Sam did was cut the amount of an increase in funding. So, for example, and I'm just going to pull numbers out of the air here, but let's say that the K-12 system was supposed to get an additional $50 million in new funding, mm-hmm. okay? And what Sam did is he said, okay, you're only going to get $30 million in new funding. So from year, let's just say, and again, I'm making up the numbers because I don't know off the top of my head, but let's say from 2015, you were supposed to get, or 2015, you got 50 million. And in the following year, 2016, you're going to get 80 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was the plan. But because of the new budgeting, because of cuts, you're only going to get 25 more.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a cut? No. You still got more money. You got the same amount plus.
You're just not getting quite.
You're not getting as much plus. But that was they called that a cut.
It's all how you spend it.
It's all how you spend it. You got more money. You just got less than what you were hoping for in your increase. But they still say, to this day, they still say Sam Brownback cut funding for education. He did not cut. He just cut the amount of the increase. Parkinson was the only governor to actually cut funding for education, and he's a Democrat. So it's like you said, it's they will find, they being the left, the press. If it's a Republican, trust me, they'll find a way to attack them. And if it's a Democrat, they'll find a way to cover for them.
Definitely. Okay. Well, I want to pivot here real quick
before we take
a break.
Okay.
You've talked about Lieutenant Governor Collier.
Yes.
We know that Scott Schwab has.
Schwab has declared.
So I'm pivoting towards, we're talking about governors.
Who's running? Yes.
We know Schwab for sure.
Schwab has declared. Nobody has filed yet. No one's actually gone and paid the fee and filed to run. Scott Schwab has declared. He's an actual declared candidate for governor. So is Stacey Rogers.
Okay.
She is, I believe her and her family own Eberly Farm out here. So those are the only two candidates, I believe, who've actually declared.
I know. It's January of 2025.
You got to get at it early.
Exactly.
Right. You've got to get at it early. So, you want to know who else is going to run?
I'm curious. I'm curious. I don't know if you are allowed to say or if you have an idea.
Oh, I have an idea. I can tell you with so I what can I say? Nobody's told me I can't say. So I'm fairly certain that Senate President Ty Masterson is, I'll phrase it this way, seriously considering it.
Okay.
I will put it that way. Mm-hmm. That Ty Masterson is probably seriously considering it. I know that former governor and lieutenant governor, Jeff Collier is seriously considering it.
All right.
And I think
that's safe.
I think that's safe to say that. Yeah, you know, I've heard other names. I've heard Ron Estes. Well, he was on the show. I asked him. He denied it. I've heard Tracy Mann, our congressman out in the first district. I've heard him mentioned. I've heard Senator Moran. I've heard Senator Marshall. I don't think either of those are, you know, Pompeo's another name that's come up. I don't think all three of those, I think, are highly unlikely. Alan Cobb from the Kansas Chamber is another name that I've heard.
Okay. One last quick question.
Yep.
And it's just something that just kind of popped in my mind. Okay. So the Republicans have a supermajority.
Correct.
So the governorship comes up in a year and a half.
26, right.
Okay. So is it more on the Republicans to get this far ahead and get in front of this, or is it because, or do the Democrats need to use this time to
both are going to have really ramping contested up primaries?
It's, obviously, yeah, this is Laura Kelly. This is the lame duck last year and a half.
For her. She's done. Mm-hmm. This time it'll be contested primaries on both sides. Okay. Unlike the last time where Kathleen Sebelius pretty much put Laura in there and said, this is who I want. And they weren't in a position to contest it. Mm-hmm. On their side, I've heard Senator Dinah Sykes. I've heard there's a couple of senators who are looking at it. There's a chance that Toland, the lieutenant governor, may run, the Democrat lieutenant governor. But I've also heard he's getting a job in the private sector. But again, it's all backbenchers and nobodies.
Just curious about the timing, though, as we get.
Why are they announcing now?
Well, the Republicans have the control, and they're going to have the control through the next election cycle for governor. So I'm curious, which party is it more important for them to get out in front of this now?
Probably the Republicans. And mainly because for the GOP candidates, it's about, look, it's going to take, I know I've worked as a paid staffer on the last two campaigns, and it's all about money. And you need, really, to win a GOP primary for governor, you need $3 to $5 million. So that's a lot of money to raise. Mm-hmm. And so the earlier you get out, the earlier it is to fundraise, the earlier it is to lock up endorsements and support from these major interest groups, federally and statewide. So, you know, if you get out there early and then you start getting momentum behind you, maybe you can coalesce some of these interest groups. Maybe you force somebody not to run. You know, for example, we mentioned Ty Masterson. Okay. Well, Ty's thinking about it. Ty's from Sedgwick County. But if another player, and I'll say right now he's not running, but let's say a Wink Hartman were to run.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Wink were to step in early, well, now maybe Ty thinks second, doesn't think about it because he's got competition from Sedgwick County. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So who can raise money?
Yes.
So that's why the earlier you get out, the common wisdom of this is the earlier you get in, the better your chances of getting that base, raising money, starting to get endorsements and coalescing support. That's why they're getting out now. And I'm sure that's why Scotty got in. I served with Scott in the House where, you know, I know Scott well. I will not be endorsing in the governor's race. I will be staying neutral, not only because I want them all to come on the show, and most likely they will, but also because I am chairman of the Sedgwick County Republican Party, so I can't. So I will stay out of this one. Holy cow, look at that. We had a good conversation. We'll take a quick break. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They're the folks that believe freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for everybody. If you're interested in volunteering, getting involved in a organization that fights for fiscal conservatism, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and make your voice heard today. And from breaking news to severe weather updates, KNSS is always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles now. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show.
Okay, John, yep. So Facebook, X.
Yep.
What about TikTok?
You know,
it had to be brought up.
Yeah, that's true. I never got on TikTok, okay, mainly because of the China thing.
Mm-hmm. But, okay.
Are you on TikTok?
My
grandkids probably are.
I am not. It's I think President Trump is seeing it as a tool now, whereas maybe before,
yes,
not so much. I do see the China issue with.
Yeah, there's a national security issue there for sure. There's a national security issue there, and I think that's a viable, legitimate concern. But you know, you could also say there's a free speech issue, but national security should trump that, I would imagine. See what I did there? I don't know. I'm nervous. I mean, you've got China right now buying up farmland in the U.S. They're an enemy of our country. And so it makes me nervous whenever you've got a foreign entity with that much control and influence. So, I don't know. It's a sticky wicket. I'm not on TikTok, so.
I'm not either.
You know, as Rush used to say, skulls full of mush. And I think TikTok kind of turns people into skulls full of mush. Jeff, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, I just had a quick question for you.
Uh-huh.
Maybe people really don't care, but what do you think the Bidens are going to do right after they leave the White House?
Well, Joe will probably have his diaper changed. who knows? Normally a president, you know, they go and they serve on a board, they write a book, they become the speaking circuit, that kind of stuff. I don't think he's capable of that. I do not think that Joe Biden is actually capable of having a post-presidential career. Jill probably does. I think he goes to Rehoboth B or whatever, you know, one of his homes where Hunter left his cocaine. I think Joe just, you know, I saw a great political cartoon the other day, and it had Joe Biden with a walker walking away, the sunset behind him. He's walking in the opposite direction, and a staffer saying, "Mr. President, the sunset's that way." I think Joe Biden is that. I think Joe Biden's just going to ride off into the sunset and we'll see his scrawny legs out on a beach someday. I mean, what do you think?
I feel in the same way, and I know there's not going to be a Biden library. That's a guarantee. So
no, I think they will. See, and I disagree with you there. They'll do that because it's a moneymaker.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. They'll do that. In fact, they better do it quickly because they want to do it while he's still cognizant, while he's so coherent enough to attend the grand opening. So they'll do that. That's a moneymaker.
Yeah.
That's his legacy. They'll do it, you know, somewhere in, you know, his home state in Delaware. Yeah. And, you know, they'll definitely, every president does a presidential, and he's got, what, 50 years of governmental service that they can.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Right,
and I'm sure it'll be underwritten by the Chinese. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Jeff, I appreciate the call, my friend. Thank you for listening. Again, no show next Sunday. So KNSS can bring you live coverage of the Chiefs in the AFC Championship. Once again, well, you know, you got to give them credit. Huh? Even if you're not a Chiefs fan, you got to give them credit. So it's the Chiefs-Bills next Sunday. You can listen to it live here on KNSS. We'll be back the following Sunday. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.